going to read a passage. In the beginning was the Word. This comes, of course, from John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God, we thank you for that. We thank you that you've given us the unbelievable privilege to be your children. And we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that, God, you've come and you're with us even today. And now we pray that as we take a few minutes and talk about you, that, God, it would be a time in which we receive and that we continue to allow you to transform us into the people you desire us to be. Lord, thank you for being the light in the darkness. Thank you for coming as the light of life to all mankind. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, for the last couple months, we've been talking about the kingdom of God, and we've went and journeyed a long ways. If you've been with us the last few months, we started a long, long time ago in the story of God's people and the establishment of the first kings. And we talked about Saul and David and Solomon and how these men really started what we would call the nation of Israel with having human kings. And they rejected God as king. And we moved on this month and we've been talking about Jesus and how he's, of course, the Messiah. He's the king. He's been given the title King of Kings. And he has come, and he was the king and the Messiah that they had been waiting on, the people of God had been waiting on for centuries. Yet when he shows up, they didn't receive him. We just read that in the book of John, that he came to his own, right? He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That was the story of Jesus, a group of people that wouldn't receive the message that he had. And so again, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. We've been talking about Jesus these last few weeks and this month to talk about how he is not only our king, he's a humble king, and he's a king that's come for each and every one of us. And in addition to him being a king and the title of king, he's often called the light of the world. And John uses that reference as light quite a bit, and how his light is what penetrates everything in this world, and how this world, before Jesus came, and really since the original sin, and even today we experience it, is a very dark place. But Jesus came as the source of goodness and truth, that everything that God provides in this world, as the source of light. The last few years, our family has celebrated Advent. And Advent, if you know what it is obviously a time that you celebrate and you prepare and you try and make your time with the Lord during this season very intentional. And you try and say, God, I'm giving you kind of first place in my life. And you take Advent and you do different things. And you really central to the piece of Advent is lighting candles. And so the lighting of the candle is to represent that Jesus is the light of the world. And for the last several years, we've done this, and we've memorized the scripture, and we say this scripture every time with our kids when we celebrate Advent. It comes out of John, And John, again, is this author in the Bible that talks a lot about God being the light. And we read this scripture and we've memorized it. We say it every time we celebrate Advent. It's from John 8:12. And he says, when Jesus was speaking, and he said, when Jesus spoke to the people of Israel, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so Jesus says this really, really incredible statement about being the light of the world. We celebrate that as a family. And I know you do too. We celebrate Jesus being the light in a lot of different ways. We have Christmas lights that remind us, right? We light candles, we sing songs, we do whatever that talks about Jesus being the light, and we all understand that. But I feel like today I want to remind us of some really, really good news about what it means that Jesus is the light, and that we celebrate in a Christmas season, and we know that this is a lot about light, and we get all those things, but Jesus is the light of the world, and that's part of what this whole Christmas season is about. A lot of us have had the experience. We go to the movies during the day, and you come out during the day, and what do you do as soon as you come out and the sun hits you after you just saw a matinee, right? What happens is you typically squint, right, and you start to look for the sunglasses, because whenever you come out of darkness and you are immediately struck with the light, we resist, don't we? We resist the light that's coming in, because in that instance, it kind of hurts the eyes, because the light's penetrating. We're like, we're not ready for the light. And so the light hits us. And this is very true, not just in movie theater experiences. This is very true. And anytime light penetrates darkness, if there's anything or any time or any person that comes and challenges the darkness in your life, the very first response is to resist and to retreat and to go, I'm not sure about this. I mean, when you were a kid, and maybe if you're still young, you can kind of relate with this, but when you're a kid and your parents, they start to maybe speak about something going on in your life, they want to address something that's not necessarily good, and it could be as simple as, you know, not cleaning your room, or it could be as major as a sin, and the parent wants to speak into the child's life. What does the kid typically do? They resist, they deny, they retreat, right? There's this, you know, withdrawal, so to speak, from what is happening. And the same is really true of all of us. It's true of us in the sense that we never really grow out of it. Your spouse points out something in your life, no matter how subtle or small. What's the reaction? We retreat. We resist. A friend asks you a question. A friend asks you a question that starts to encroach on some sort of dark area of your life. What do? We retreat. We withdraw from the relationship. Anytime light shines into the darkness, there's a resistance on our part. And the interesting thing is this: when God shines light into your soul, when God shines light into your life, we do the same exact thing. No matter how you hear it, you may hear it in a scripture, you may be reading scripture and something pops out and it kind of hits your heart in a way, or maybe you're singing a song like we were just singing, and you're singing this song and God starts to shine light into your life and you're just not sure and you start to retreat, or maybe it's not in a sermon, somebody's saying something and you hear something that's truth and it hits you in the face and we have the same reaction. Anytime light comes into the dark places in our life, maybe from a friend saying something, maybe from a child saying something. Anytime light starts to penetrate and starts to come into you, we have this resistance, these walls that come up, this stiff arm almost to God, because in those moments, what happens when it's God doing the work, what we often do is we build a wall and we say, God, you know, I'm not ready. And we put up the stiff arm, so to speak, to God. And today, I just want us to hear some simple things. I wanted to make today very simple, just so you know. I'm not going to talk very long. And I just wanted to get straight to the good stuff. And the good stuff is that just as God said, let there be light in the creation story, and just as God said, let there be light in the story of Christmas, God is still saying, let there be light in your story and in your life. And here's why. Because your heavenly Father knows that where there is light, there is life. Where there is light, there is life. When you retreat from the light, when you resist the light, you're essentially resisting and retreating from life. John, the guy who wrote the gospel, John, the guy who stood at the cross and looked up at Jesus being crucified, John, the guy who took the mother of Jesus, Mary, and took care of her, John, the guy who saw the resurrected Jesus, that John, he wrote some really powerful things about Jesus, and he said this in John chapter 1, which I read at the very beginning. He said, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In him was life, and that light was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Meaning, the light is pushing the darkness back. John said there's something about this Jesus. There's something different about his life, because his life actually functions like a light, and his light penetrates. And here's the truth. It can feel offensive, but it's not. It can feel obtrusive, meaning you have this protected space in your life that when light penetrates it, you feel like it's encroaching on areas that you don't want anything to encroach on. And it feels obtrusive and it feels offensive, but it's not, because light is life. Because you know what seeks darkness and hiddenness are the things that don't want to live in the light, because what lives in the darkness cannot live in the light. So whenever there's darkness in us and it stays with it, there's things within us that God is wanting to get out of us. Think about my life as a parent, and I think about my kids, and I think about the fact that God has really positioned Christy and I to be people that are speaking life into our kids and trying to illuminate the way. And I'm sure parents, do you guys think about this? In which really you're the ones that God has said, I want to use you to illuminate the ways of Jesus in your children. When you think about that as a parent, that's pretty, that's a lot on our shoulders. And he says, I want to use you to do this. And right now with my kids, it's really easy at the age they're at, when I see areas of darkness or I see areas of things that I want to address, that I can speak to it pretty quickly. So, you know, I see something wrong. I see a bad attitude. I see a selfishness. It's easy and very natural and instinctive for me to go, hey, I want to show you a better way. And I correct it, right? And I try and illuminate a better way for them. It's really easy at the age they're at. But what about as kids grow older? Those of you in the room that have older kids can probably attest to what I assume is true. As your kids grow older, it's harder to do that. It's harder to look at your child and say, you know what, you have a problem here and I want you to fix it. Or here's a problem that started, and if you don't get it under control, it's going to get worse and out of control. And as your kids get older, you feel less ability to speak into the darkness. And what do parents do in those kids, in those cases? We hesitate, don't we? We hesitate to speak into our children's life. And this could be true of any adult relationship. This can be true of you and friends, other adult friends that you have. You see an area of darkness, you know you should address it, but you don't. We hesitate, don't we? You have a brother, you have a sister, you have a family member, you have a whatever. You have somebody in your life that you're like, I feel some responsibility to them. They have something going on that if nobody says anything, it could get really, really bad. But what do we do in those circumstances? We hesitate. Why do we hesitate? We hesitate because we fear that if we shine light into the darkness, what happens? What does the person do when light hits darkness? They retreat, they resist, right? And we fear that they would pull away from us. Like, this could damage the relationship if I let my light, or I speak light, or I shine light into the darkness. And so what we do, all of us, every one of us, we're either resisting the light or we're hesitating to shine the light. And here's the truth. Your heavenly Father never hesitates. Never hesitates. Your heavenly Father loves you so extraordinarily relentless that he never hesitates to shine his light into your darkness. Even when he knows that you may push back, you may resist, you may be the person that says, I can't do this. You put the stiff arm up to God, so to speak. Your heavenly Father knows that when the light of truth is allowed to penetrate your life, your everyday life, your coming, your going, your being a parent, your being a spouse, your business practices, your money, your attitudes, your alone time. When the light of God is allowed to penetrate all that, your heavenly Father knows that is the source of life. So he never hesitates. He never hesitates because he loves you. He never hesitates because the entire reason he came to this earth and the entire reason he demonstrated his love for us on a cross and gave his life for us was to do something about the darkness that existed in this world. That's the whole reason he came. He wants the darkness out of us, so he never hesitates to shine his light into us. We resist the light. We hesitate to share the light. Our Heavenly Father never hesitates to give the light. Many of us have experienced this. We've experienced God's light coming into us, and the tendency and even a message like this is for those of us who already know Jesus, we kind of go, oh, yeah, I got this. The tendency for us is to go, yeah, I got the light of God in me and I'm so grateful for it. And I sure hope that anybody in the room that doesn't have the light of God in them, I sure hope that they hear this. That's the tendency, isn't it? Because we think the message of the light of God is for those who don't have it yet. But here's what I know about me is I still have a lot of darkness in me. I still have a lot of darkness in me that God's still dealing with, and his light is still shining, and I'm still fighting against it. I'm still putting the stiff arms up. I'm still resisting the light in my life, and I have dark places that I know that I need God's light to come in. You know what? When I allow it to come in, guess what happens? When the light of God shines into my life in the areas that are dark, guess what happens? Freedom, peace. Goodness, right? When the light shines in my own darkness, I know I'm loved. And the amazing thing is this, that God wasn't content to just sit in heaven, leave us wallowing in our darkness and our shame and our guilt. But he decided that he not only wanted us to know that he knew about the darkness, but he was going to do something about it. And the thing about this is darkness isn't just about our sin and our shortcomings. You see, sometimes I think when I say the phrase, you have dark places in your heart and in your soul, your mind immediately goes to what am I doing that isn't good enough, that doesn't measure up? And certainly there's sin that we need to deal with, but there's a darkness in this world that has nothing to do with your sin, and it has everything to do about the brokenness of this world. Darkness is also about the pain we feel. Darkness is also about the hurt that we've endured. Darkness is also about the shortcomings in this world. Things like people who don't have much while others have much. Darkness is also about the brokenness in humanity. Racism and hatred, isn't it? Isn't darkness about more than just us and our problems? Darkness is about a bigger problem with the world, with humanity. Darkness is about hopelessness that people have. Darkness is about the loneliness and the depression that people feel, the isolation that people feel in a world full of millions of people. Isn't it odd that there are millions of people who feel all alone? That's darkness. And it's not you, it's this condition of this world. We have our own darkness to deal with, but you know what? There's good news that Jesus came as a light to all of that stuff, all of that junk. That's why Jesus came. And somebody would say, well, why isn't it done? Why isn't it all gone? Why? Because it's not finished. Jesus came, and he's coming again, which we've talked about. But when he came, the first time he came, what he did is he shined a light into this world in which darkness started to get pushed back, and it's still roaming throughout the world and light is spreading. And that's the good news of Jesus, is that he's doing something about the darkness. The light is on the move. Luke 2 is a familiar passage. We read a little bit about it already this morning. But the shepherds were in a field and a great light shined around them, right? You guys know the story? What did they do? They were afraid. They resisted the light. They were like, too much, too soon, too much light. They were afraid. And then the angel says this in verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. The light is good. That will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Suddenly, at that moment, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. You know what this means? It means that no matter what you've done, where you've gone, what's happened to you, it doesn't matter. God's favor rests on you. Those of us that want to follow Jesus, his favor rests on you. Even before you knew it, his favor was on you. That's why his penetrating light that comes into your life, no matter how bad we want to resist it, no matter how bad we want to retreat from it, this morning I'm hoping that we can acknowledge that it's always good. It's always good. And we have a heavenly Father who doesn't hesitate to share his light. And here's what I've learned about light and darkness is it's a journey for many people. It's not as quick as turning on a light switch, is it? Darkness isn't that easy to deal with. And here's what I'd say to all of us in here is some of us have some really dark places in our life and in our heart and our soul. And I want to say that this Christmas, maybe the thing that God is wanting to say to you is, I'm not hesitating on you. I'm going to start shining the light into these places. You're going to start sharing the truth about who you are with people. And you know what? I would just say, let it be a journey. It's not a light switch. It's a step forward and allowing the light to start to come in. To start allowing his goodness. Because remember, light is life. And when we retreat from the light, we are retreating from life. Allow his light to start pouring into your soul. And that could be in the areas of your sin. That could be in the areas of your pain and your hurt. That can be in the areas of, man, you know what it is. Let his light start to pour in. And I love the fact that John started the book of John with "in the beginning." You know why I love that? Because it was like a reference to say, you know what? The story that we're starting with in Jesus was in the beginning. It's not like it's starting here in the year, we'll call it zero, right? No, in the beginning, it's a reference back to Genesis 1:1, right? So Genesis 1:1, what does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Light has brought good into this world from the very beginning. Today we celebrate that goodness. Today we celebrate his gift. We say we celebrate his grace. I mean, there's so many things we celebrate, but I just want to speak to people because we're all in the same boat together. We're dealing with our darkness, and I want to encourage you to allow your Heavenly Father to show you how good his light is, because where there is light, there is life. Today, to celebrate and to kind of acknowledge this goodness, we have communion, and we're going to do a little bit of worship to end our time together. And while we worship, we have communion over here. And I just encourage you, the way we do it here is we kind of gather around the table. We don't kind of wait single file. You just kind of go up there and break a piece off of the matzah bread, dip it in the juice there. And of course, many of us are familiar with why we do communion. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And I have a body, this bread that's going to be broken for you. He breaks the bread. And then he said, this cup represents my blood that will be spilt for you. And then he says, do this in remembrance of me, which for us, a lot of times we then associate the whole experience of communion with just the cross and this moment in the upper room, which I think is real and huge, but I know it's bigger than that. Doing things in remembrance of Jesus is remembering the entire story. And the entire story is remembering that Jesus came for really one purpose. And he came for the purpose of you and me and the fact that this world was broken and dark. And he said, I'm going to be the source of light. And so today, maybe just as a little addition to your normal routine of how you do communion, you're remembering this life-giving light of Jesus. As we take communion, we remember that today. And that is so good. So I'm going to pray, and you're going to have the freedom to move on your own, to take communion, and we're going to worship for a couple songs, kind of finish our day together. But I hope today's been an encouragement to you, and I hope that today you walk out of here with something in you that says, I'm going to allow the light to shine into my life in a new way. Father, we pray that as we take your word and we let it sit in our hearts, that God, it's something that we allow to transform us. So often we hear your word and we appreciate it and we like it, but yet we do nothing about it. And so, Father, I pray that today we do more than like it and appreciate it or any of those things, but we take it a step further and we deal with things in dark that are in our dark places in our heart. And God, this Christmas isn't just about gifts and celebrations and parties, although we love all those things, but that it's about you came for a very, very serious reason. You came because we have a dark world, and you had the answer because you're the light of the world. And so, God, we thank you for that gift. We pray as we even take communion, we just thank you for your life that you gave. Thank you for coming to this world as a human, as a baby, growing into a man, doing a ministry, creating miracles that people could be in awe of your power, but then, of course, dying a criminal's death, humbling yourself on a cross for us, God. And then, of course, being raised back to life to overcome death and overcome darkness. We thank you for that gift, God, and we thank you today that we can celebrate you so many years later, centuries later, knowing that that is the truth. So, Lord, we love you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.